Well, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's open them together to 1 Thessalonians. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. You can look under the chair in front of you, and probably right or left, you can find a Bible there. All right? We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, which is actually a letter that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy wrote to the church of the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica. And we're working our way through this letter verse by verse. And today we come to something that Paul says only of this church. If I were to give you a quiz and ask you, what churches did Paul say are an example for all believers? Well, I'll give you the answer. There's only one. The church at Thessalonica. This is the only church that Paul said, you are an example to everyone who believes. Now, the verses for our study this morning are verses 8 through 10, but I want you to take a look first at verse 7. This is kind of where we covered this last time, verse 7, but take a look. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. He says, so that you became examples, literally, you became an example, singular. Some of your Bibles have that. In other words, he's saying, you as a church became a pattern, an example. And then it literally says, you became an example to everyone who believes. And then he identifies two places that were familiar to them, in Macedonia and Achaia. You became an example to everyone who believes, both near and far. You became an example to everyone in your nation. It would be, can you imagine someone saying of us, you guys are an example to everyone in the state of Colorado. Other churches should look at you and learn. Now that is the truth behind verses 8 to 10. The truth for this morning is the church in Thessalonica is an example for us. The title of the message this morning is An Example for All Who Believe. And that's what the church at Thessalonica was and is. But an example of what? They're an example for us, but of what? Let's look at verses 8 to 10. For, he's explaining that statement that they're an example, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, here's our memory verse, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This church is an example for all who believe, an example of witnessing. Witnessing. That's what they are. An example to all believers of witnessing. This is how they followed Paul and Christ. You remember in verse 6, he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord by witnessing. You received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Why did they suffer affliction? Because they were witnessing. Because they were going out and telling others the word of God, that's the gospel, and about their faith in God, which is their testimony. So the truth is, this church at Thessalonica is an example for all who believe, an example of witnessing, telling others the gospel, and of their belief in Jesus Christ in order that others would be saved. Well, what do you do when you're given an example? What do you do when you're given a pattern? Some of you know that Denise, my wife, although she's done lots of quilts, she's gotten into making things out of wood. And she's quick to say, oh, I had a pattern. Same thing with quilts. Oh, I had a pattern. And I asked her before, honey, what do you do with a pattern? Well, you look at it, you learn from it, and you follow it. That's what you do with a pattern. So here we're given a pattern in writing. The thing for us to do is to look at it, learn from it, and follow it. So to learn from their pattern, to learn from their example, we're going to ask some questions. I love asking questions. Let's ask the most basic ones. You ready? Who? What? When? Where? How? Why? And so what? 7 very basic questions. Who, what, when, where, how, why, and so what? Those are our questions for this morning in order that we would learn to follow the example of the church in Thessalonica. So first question, who? Who should witness? Who should spread the word of the Lord? Who should tell others about their faith in God? The answer is the church. The church. Look at verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. For from you, stop there. From you who? You who? From you who? From you, the church. Verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church. That's who should witness. That's who was witnessing. Jesus said in one place, in Matthew 16, he said, I will build my church. And in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall be my witnesses. Those two go together. This is how Jesus is building his church. By his grace, he saves sinners and then he puts them into the ministry. And part of that is the ministry of witnessing. So, who should witness? The church. Second question. See, we're just booking right through. What? What should we witness? And we know what it is to be a witness. To be a witness is to give testimony. Oftentimes, it's in a courtroom. And the goal of giving testimony is that other people would believe what you say. Right? Nobody gives testimony in a courtroom with the desire that everyone would call them a liar. You give testimony in the hopes that other people are going to believe that what you're telling them is true. But the question I have here is, what should we say? What should we witness to so that others might be saved? Look again at verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. That's part A. That's half of it. From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Talking about the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, a reference to the gospel. He's saying, for from you, church, the word of the Lord, the gospel, has sounded forth. And that's the word for sounding a trumpet. From you, the word of the Lord has blasted out like a trumpet that echoes through the valleys. It started with you, and it's just gone out everywhere. But that's not all they witnessed to. Notice what it says, verse 8. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God. Now that's something a little different, right? Your faith toward God. What is that? That's your testimony about how you came to faith in God. Right? That is, isn't that great? Praise the Lord, we have children. Praise the Lord. We want that sound. Well, just as it's natural for babies to cry, it is natural for newborn babies in Christ to cry out. That's not in my notes. Just came up with that. That's free. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate that. What should we testify to? What should we witness? We should witness the word of the Lord, which is the gospel, and our faith toward God, which is our own testimony. That's what we should do. Some of you might recall that I had a class on evangelism and apologetics. The most famous verse when it comes to defending the Bible is 1 Peter 3:15, which says that we're to be always ready to give a defense for anyone who demands an account from you about the hope that is in you. What do you do to defend the gospel? You give your testimony. And some of you might recall that we looked at every place that the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts is defending his faith. And yet, what does he do every time he's defending his faith? He tells his testimony and he incorporates truths of the gospel. That is good witnessing. Good witnessing is when you just tell people the story about how God saved you. And then together with that, you incorporate gospel truths. So that's the what. Who should witness? The church. What should we witness to? We should witness to how God in His grace saved us from our sins and changed our lives forever. And as we do that, we incorporate the word of the Lord. We say things like, oh, you know what, it wasn't always this way. You know, how did you become a pastor? Well, I wasn't always a pastor. And I would start telling my testimony. And along with it, I might say, you know, it's really true. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Or you might tell your story and say, well, you know, I was over there in Germany. And Harry, you would tell your story. And then somewhere in there, you might say, you know, it's really true that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good witnessing. That is when you're telling people your story and you're incorporating truths of the gospel. Third and fourth questions, when and where? Well, when could you do that? Where could you possibly do that? Guess what? Anytime, anywhere. It's unlimited. Anytime, anywhere. Look at what he says, verse 8. For from you, the church, the word of the Lord has sounded forth like a trumpet blast, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Where was the church of Thessalonica? Macedonia. It was in Macedonia. Be kind of like, where's Pueblo? Well, that's in Colorado. Good. That's the region. That's kind of like the state. All right? That's the nearby area. He says, from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia, not just right where you're living, but also in Achaia. That's kind of a little bit broader. Maybe in the southwest. Where's Pueblo? Oh, that's in the southwest. That's a pretty big area. But also in every place. Where's that? Where's Pueblo? Well, that's in southern Colorado. Well, where's southern Colorado? Well, that's in Colorado. Where's Colorado? That's in the southwest. The southwest what? Southwest part of the United States of America. Where's that? Well, that's in North America. Where's that? It's in the world. It's on the earth. You know, Paul is a bit using hyperbole here, but you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? Wherever I go these days, I keep hearing about what God did with you in Thessalonica. What does that tell you? It tells you that they were witnessing, apparently, wherever they went. Now, Thessalonica, as you may recall, was a trade city. Not only were they on the Ignatian Way, this major trade route, it'd be like being located on I-25 or something, or 50. Be like, you're at like this crossroads. There's people heading east and west around you. There's people heading north and south. But they also had a port, a seaport. There was a place where ships would come in and go out with goods that would go out into the Mediterranean to the rest of the world. So apparently this church was actively witnessing, and as people heard their testimony, they themselves are taking it out to other places. And look what Paul says. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not just in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone out so that we don't need to say anything. What do you mean you don't need to say anything? Verse 9, for they themselves declare, as we travel around, there are people telling us about you. Well, what are they telling you about us? Well, they declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. That means they're telling the testimony. They're telling the story. Thessalonians are saying, oh, we had these three guys. They came into town, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and they told us about this man Jesus and how he's the Messiah. And Paul says, you know what? We travel around and we hear them telling about how we came to you. Isn't that good? It'd be like, I'm in Illinois and I hear your mom telling me about how you came to faith in Jesus. Or I'm down there in Oklahoma and suddenly I have people down there telling me about how you came to faith in Christ in Sepulpa. Or wherever. And all that is to say, I know you are witnessing because I'm hearing about you from other people. So our question is, when and where? When and where could you do that? Whenever. Wherever. Let's be more specific. When did that church start witnessing? When did they start? What do you think? Right away, that's the answer. Star pupils are always in the front row. Right away. They apparently started right away because notice he says, from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. That means it started in the past, but there are continuing effects of it. It's like from the get-go, you blasted the trumpet of your testimony and now it's been echoing forth. Or then he says, your faith toward God, it's gone out already. When is the time to start witnessing? Right away. As soon as you become a Christian. When is the time to quit witnessing? Very good. The text doesn't answer. I would say, hopefully you'll be still witnessing at your funeral through the people who heard from you, and they'll stand up at the microphone at your funeral and say, oh, I remember him. You know, he told me about Jesus so many times until finally, by the grace of God, I believed. She invited me to church so many times, she was relentless. And finally, you know what? I just caved and I came to church. I'm so thankful that I did. I heard the good news of forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that our dear sister who's now lying before us in the coffin, you're still witnessing, right? Because your life was a testimony. The time to start witnessing is as soon as you're saved, and the time to quit is never, or until you see Jesus, right? And the place would be you start with those who are right around you, and you're trying to explain why all these changes have taken place in your life. How come you've started reading your Bible? How come you've started going to church? How come you've started praying? But you don't stop there. Wherever you go in this life, wherever you travel on vacation or business or pleasure or whatever, that's the place. When and where? From the moment you're saved till the Savior comes, wherever you go, wherever you live, you're seeking to sow the word so that others will be saved. So, fifth question. How? How do you do it? So I'm going to give you two choices, A and B. A, well, never saying anything to anyone. You witness just by your life. You don't say anything. You don't talk to people. You don't ever mention Jesus, God of the Bible, because that's offensive and people don't like that. And people will feel like you're ramming your religion down their throat. So you never say anything. You just witness by your life. You just try to be a nice person. That's A. Or B is A plus you tell them. Well, everybody knows it's B. Why do I bring up A? Because I can't tell you how many times as a Christian I have heard good Christians say, well, I witnessed by my life. And I've even had Christians, when I've said, tell me what you mean by that, they say, well, I just try to be a nice person. That is not following Jesus. It's not. Did Jesus come and just be a nice person? Did the Apostle Paul just be a nice person? No, Paul says, verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. How? By receiving the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit to the extent that you became examples to everybody. How? The word of the Lord sounded forth from you. You opened your mouth and you actually told people the gospel. And your faith toward God has gone out. You're actually telling people about the fact that you've become Christians and suffering affliction as a result. Listen, being a light for Jesus Christ and shining does not mean you never say anything. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he spoke. In fact, had he stopped witnessing to the truth, he probably wouldn't have been crucified. But right before he was crucified, he said, I am come to testify to the truth. That's why the church is here. How do we do it? The answer is word of mouth. That's how you do it. Ours is a word-of-mouth ministry. Oldest and best form of advertising is word-of-mouth. And that's how we witness. Word-of-mouth. But let's be more specific. Who do you tell? Who do you think they told? Probably the first ones are family members, right? Family first. Parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. And so a question there would be, have you told your family, relatives, the people in your extended family, do they know your story? If I happen to be where they live, could they tell me your story? Could they say, well, you know, guy wasn't always this way. Let me tell you about him, because I got stories. Parents love to tell the stories of before. But could they tell me the story of after? Could they tell me, well, there's a pretty big change that took place back around such and such year. We were there when he got baptized. We were there when she was baptized. Tell your family first. Right? That's how you witness, word of mouth, and tell the family first. Who do you think these people told after that? Probably friends, people they went to school with, people they used to worship with, because notice verse 9. They themselves declare, so this is people Paul's hearing from, they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and they tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They're telling us how you turned away from idols. So apparently they were telling people about how they turned from idols. One of the first people you would tell is the people you used to worship idols with. Right? I mean, if you used to be part of a false religion and you became a Christian, naturally one of the first people you would tell about becoming a Christian is the people that you no longer worship idols with or that you no longer run with. Do the people that you used to run with know your story? Be good for them to hear. Who else would you tell? How else would you witness? We're answering the question, how. How else would you witness? Well, you would tell your coworkers and your business associates. Right? You've got to explain why you're not going to engage in some of the same sinful behaviors as before. And no doubt some of them will pass the story on. I have people that I used to work with that by the grace of God have told my testimony to other people as unbelievers. That's really good. Let them tell the story. Let them tell your story. You know, I tried to think about when Paul says in verse 9, they themselves declare concerning us how we came to you and how you turned. I thought, well, how could that happen? So here's what I pictured. You picture this with me. Two businessmen, Marcus and Rufus, in Macedonia. Marcus and Rufus, those are good Greek names, Marcus and Rufus. And Marcus, he just came through Thessalonica, and now he's somewhere out there in Macedonia, and he says, hey, Rufus, you remember that guy Thaddeus in Thessalonica? You know, the guy with the bakery down by the docks? And Rufus says, oh yeah, I know the guy you're talking about, a real mean guy. And Marcus says, not anymore. And Rufus says, really? And Marcus says, yeah. You know, I was just coming through Thessalonica on my way here for business, and I saw him. I saw Thaddeus at the bakery down in the docks, and guess what? He's all smiles. He's all Mr. Nice Guy. And I'm like, what has gotten into you? What are you drinking? And Thaddeus proceeds to tell me how over the holidays, these three guys, I forget what their names were, but these three guys came into their town and told this message about the Hebrew Messiah, this Christ, this anointed one, who is the Savior of the world. And Thaddeus told me that he believed that and that the God of heaven has changed his life. Can you believe that? And Rufus says, you know, actually, Marcus, I've been kind of wanting to tell you my story. You know, we've been business associates for a while now, and I've been looking for an opportunity to tell you my story. And Rufus proceeds to tell Marcus about how he became a believer in Jesus Christ. Then Paul comes to town to Rufus's church in Macedonia, and before Paul ever opens his mouth, Rufus says, hey, have I got a story to tell you? And it's about how you entered into Thessalonica. And you know how I know this? Because I got a business guy, Marcus, and Marcus told me the story. That's what's happening here. That's what Paul's saying. Paul is saying, they themselves are telling us the story about what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols and served the living true God. Paul's writing back to Thessalonica saying, guess what, Thaddeus? You told Marcus down at your bakery down by the docks. Marcus told Rufus. Rufus is a guy in the church here in Macedonia. And Macedonians are telling me about you. Isn't that great? What is that? Word of mouth. Word of mouth. How do you witness? Word of mouth. That's all you do. It's not difficult. Well, it is. And it isn't. It's not complex. But it is difficult. Why? Because maybe we already told them. Or maybe because we know they don't want to hear it. Or because we know we're going to suffer affliction for it. But this is how the church in Thessalonica became an example for us. By the way, here's another question. On the how question, should you testify in church? Should you witness? Should you maybe some Sunday come up here to the pulpit and witness to all the rest of us? What do you think? I see some heads shaking in the proper direction with a thumbs up. Thank you. Yes, you should. In fact, if you've never told your testimony in church, you should call me today. Or write me an email and you should say, could I have an opportunity? You know why you should do that? Listen to this. Psalm 107, verse 31. A psalm about those who have experienced the saving grace of God. Here's what it says. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that men would give thanks for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him in the assembly. You know what that's saying? The psalmist is saying, oh, how I wish that people who have been saved by God would stand up in the assembly and tell everyone else about how good God was to them to save them. Oh, how I wish that every Christian would give their testimony in church. Really? Yeah. And praise Him in the company of the elders. Why? Sixth question. Why? Well, one reason is because that is God's means not only of saving people, but of sanctifying them. And it is God's means of showing an example that every Christian should be witnessing, both to believers and unbelievers. But there are three answers from the text to the why question. Why should we witness? Okay, there are at least three answers. I'll put it this way. Repentance, return, and wrath. One reason that we all should witness is because of our repentance. Look what he says in verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned. You know what turn is? A word for repentance. That is the New Testament term for repentance. You turned. Like this. Like physically, right? You turned to God away from idols. The picture is, you used to worship false gods. You used to serve things that aren't even God. I used to serve money. Okay? I used to serve money, to my shame. But that was my God. And then I read, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't? No, you can't. Repentance, he says, they themselves tell us how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What is the goal of repentance? Service. The goal of repentance, turning away from serving idols to serve the living and true God, the goal, the end goal of that is that now you would serve God. And it's pointed out right here, that is the goal, the end goal of repentance. You turn to God from idols in order to serve the living and true God. That is a reason for why we should witness. We used to serve things that aren't God's. We used to serve ourselves. But we've turned away from that to serve the true God, and now we should witness as a part of our service to the living and true God. Repentance is a reason for you to witness. And if you've repented, you should witness. Second reason, verse 10. And to wait. Now stop there. To wait is again a goal of repentance. You turn to God from idols with this goal, to serve the living and true God, and to wait, which means to wait expectantly, to wait eagerly, to look with anticipation, watching, waiting until what? To wait for His Son from out of the heavens, literally. In other words, this is saying that Christians are eagerly anticipating the return of Jesus. Are you eagerly anticipating the return of Jesus? You know, if you're not witnessing, maybe you should be a little concerned about if He comes soon. Because guess what? Jesus told a parable, the parable of the talents, which is that when He comes again, some are going to hear, well done, good and faithful slave, enter into the joy of your master. But some are going to hear, you wicked, worthless slave. And then he's going to say, cast them out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That parable is meant as a warning against laziness, wickedness, unfaithfulness, against taking what Jesus has entrusted to us and burying it. The return of Jesus Christ is a reason why we should witness. If we are anxiously awaiting his return, we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful slave. Part of our faithfulness is taking what he has entrusted to us and making the most of it to reproduce, that there would be more. Right? This is an answer to the why question. Why? Because we've repented. We've turned to God to serve him. And because Christ is coming, we're waiting for his return, and his return is coming. So we should not be ashamed to tell others about him. Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, of that person, of the person who's ashamed to tell others about him, Jesus says, of him, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Why witness? Because of our repentance, because of the return of Christ, but finally, because of wrath. Notice how verse 10 ends. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, on the one hand, this was part of their testimony. Did you catch that? This is what Paul was hearing from others that had been told to others by the church in Thessalonica. Part of their witness, this goes back to the what question, part of their witness is they were telling people, listen, there's a man named Jesus. He's the Son of God. He is raised up from the dead. He died for our sins. He's risen from the dead. He's coming again. This was part of their witness, part of what they were telling people. But also, this is a reminder that there is a coming wrath. It literally says at the end of verse 10, Jesus, the one who delivers us from the wrath that is coming now. It is a picture of wrath approaching. It's a picture of a storm on the horizon, and it's dark, and it's a tornado, it's a hurricane, it's devastating, and it's coming towards us. It's on the way. What is a reason to witness? Wrath is coming, but it isn't here yet. It's not here yet. The Bible says God has appointed the day on which he is about to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, man with a capital M. What's the proof of that? Having given proof to all by raising him up from the dead. God's already appointed the day. Is it tonight? It could be. Tomorrow? Maybe. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1, one of the first verses I ever memorized. Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day might bring forth. Today could be the last day of your life, and the wrath of God is coming upon this earth for sin and evil. God, who is a holy and a righteous judge, is not going to stand by forever while all this evil and sin is taking place on the earth. But on the other hand, God is a loving and a merciful Savior. And that God desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And to that end, he has established a church that is to witness. And for us, there has been given an example. It's the church of Thessalonica. It's the church of Thessalonica. And the example is they were faithful. That's it. They were faithful. They became followers of Paul and the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ in that they were faithful to tell forth the word of the Lord and their testimony. Final question, so what? So what? Well, as I said in verse 7, they are an example to all who believe. And so the question really is, do you believe? Do you believe? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have believed in Christ, and he's your Savior, and he's changed your life, and you've turned from serving sin and self and idols and things that aren't God to serve the living and true God, guess what the so what is? Witness. That's it. Pray to God for opportunities to tell people your story. And look for opportunities from God to tell people your story. There's an insert in your bulletins today. It's my pastor's heart. I give a few suggestions in there. But the main suggestion I have for you is be faithful to pray to God for an open door to tell how you became a Christian and incorporate truths of the gospel. And maybe God will give you an opportunity a year. Or maybe He'll give you an opportunity a month. Or maybe He'll give you a great opportunity this summer. Or maybe this winter. I don't know. Don't feel convicted like, oh, I didn't witness to anyone last week. There's no law that says you had to witness every week. But there is a guideline that the pattern of your life should be you're praying and seeking opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ. What if you don't believe? What if it could be you're here this morning and you know what, you're not a Christian. Truth be told, if you're honest, you know, hey, truth, the gig's up, I'm not a Christian. Guess what? I have good news for you. There is a God in heaven who made the sun, the stars, the moon, the sky, the mountains, the snow, the rain. There's a God in heaven. And that is the God who gives you your life, your breath, and everything you have that's good. Everything you have that's good has come from the God of heaven. And that God desires you to live forever. But you have a disease. And it's called sin. And it's because of sin that you are going to die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today and you don't have forgiveness of sins, you don't have eternal life, you don't know the God of heaven, listen, God brought you here. Maybe somebody invited you, but the God of heaven brought you here today that you might be saved, and today is the day. There's no promise of tomorrow. Don't think, well, maybe tomorrow I'll believe in Jesus Christ, or maybe tonight, or maybe after I leave. No, now is the time, today is the day, and now is the time for you to say, God, forgive me. God, I've heard what you're saying here. Forgive me of my sins and save me. If you would simply humble yourself today, that's all it takes. If you would just humble yourself today and ask God for forgiveness of your sins, you know what He will do? He will forgive you of your sins. He will credit you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He will give you of His Holy Spirit, who will help you to live from now until the end faithful to Him, and then He will bring you into His kingdom forever. And He'll also make you a witness to others. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the challenge to be witnesses for You. And I pray on behalf of this church, God, that You would make us to be an example for others in this. Maybe not in coffee or donuts or rock bands or whatever. I just pray that we would be an example in witnessing, that we would be faithful to You to spread the word of God, and to tell about our faith in You. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.